on the Republic of Pinellas on Tantalk Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and a drink a rum.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Oh yeah.
6 foot 7.
Remember Harry Belafonte? Yeah, he's still around, you know. The Deo sound. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my banana buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, March the 2nd. Wow, we're moving along in this year. In a few minutes, we are going to be talking right here in the studio with Kevin Hazlett. He is a Republican candidate for Congress from the 13th District here in Florida. He's an attorney, and he has to win the Republican primary first, but he's running for Charlie Crist's old seat. Charlie's going to be running for governor again. So we will ask him why he is running. So stay tuned for that. And Joe Biden finally holds a State of the Union speech last night. What'd you think of it? Huh? Did you watch it? We're going to find out what the proprietor of the barber poll thought about it, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. Stay tuned for that. And Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, she says Joe Biden's approval ratings are low because people are uninformed. They're uninformed. Really? Okay, we're going to be taking a look at that as well. And we have a very interesting top 10. The top 10 most luxurious bomb shelters. Hey, with Putin running around like he is, if I have my pick... And a little bit of what, head time? I want to get to a nice one, okay? So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works. We are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Hey, guys, for the best haircut in the Tampa Bay area, I have never found a better place than Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in the Overcash Plaza. That is on Overcash Drive. It is just north. I mean, just a few steps north of State Road 580 Main Street in Dunedin. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. By the way, they are open Tuesday through Saturday. So, Ed, you are an objective young man. First of all, did you watch the speech? Second of all, how long did you watch the speech before you started to fall asleep? And third of all, did you watch the speech till the end?
Well, what I did was I said I'm going to be objective on this, and I'm even going to watch ABC News's feed of this thing. And of course, it didn't matter during the speech itself because they all carried the same thing. There was no commentary during the speech itself,
right?
But you could, I almost wanted to tweet out or whatever that as soon as he got off the Ukraine stuff, the whole speech just went off the cliff. The whole thing just fell. And you could tell that the rest of it was rehearsed and something that he was waiting to do. This is my favorite part of the whole speech. Biden said that Putin may circle Kyiv with tanks, but will never gain the hearts and souls of the Iranian people.
Well, yeah.
I don't know what Iranian people have to do with people.
Oh, he said the Iranian people.
Yes, he said the Iranian people.
Oh, yeah, I got you now. He won't get them. He certainly won't get them.
He certainly won't get them. He'll never gain the souls of the Iranian people.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked over and I said, did he just say Iran?
Yeah, he might have. It was more like Ukrainian, but he didn't get the K in there.
But the whole thing fell out. There was so much stuff that I had to turn it eventually. Because when he was talking about the Border Patrol, which I, of course, that's when Kamala Harris got all glassy-eyed and started falling off and nodding off and yawning about the border.
I thought she was trying to duck under her chair.
How about his personal cheerleader behind him last night, Pelosi? Everything he said. Rah, rah, rah.
Yes.
But about the border.
She had a kind of a strange, did you notice?
Well, the mouth was going nuts last night.
Strange smile.
And she had that one piece of corn from last Thursday that wouldn't let go.
That's why.
And she was trying to get this
thing
out.
She was trying to get
it out.
That's it.
But anyway, on the border, he said, we're going to give our border control the most advanced equipment to scan these people to make sure they're not coming in with drugs. Joe? The problem is not the people you're letting in. It's the people you can't catch. And, Joe, you can't scan what you can't catch.
Very good.
I mean, these are some of the things, that he talks about. And how, and I love this one. This is the main argument between the people in the 24 hours that'll be in there. Is that if we restart the pipeline, it's going to take years to get anything out of it. It's not even done. But wait a minute. We're going to start manufacturing chips right here in America. The only thing is, it's going to take years before we see anything out of it. But that's okay.
Right. No, there's a double standard there. No question about it. It was kind of what I expected of him. Poor guy. He's not a good enunciator. And He even couldn't wait when people started to applaud. Sometimes he just continued.
How about Chuck Schumer jumping off script there? Did you see that?
And you had mentioned Nancy Pelosi. They both stood up to applaud before Biden had gotten to that point, which, of course, they're following. They're almost, this is a rehearsal kind of thing.
Do you think she had something in her ear? Sit down, Nancy. Not yet.
It's interesting to watch the two. And I thought that Kamala Harris was just kind of, as you said, glassy. She just kind of staring away. There wasn't a lot of, there was a lot more emotion in Nancy Pelosi's face than there was in
Kamala Harris. In her head last night, she was making dinner plans. She had nothing to do with
maybe that
speech.
Maybe that was it. Yes. And, it's like Chinese dinner, speaking of dinner. In about an hour, you'll forget you even had it. I don't know that anybody will remember anything about this speech. There wasn't any particular great line, a famous quote or anything that you might remember. There might have been something there that went by.
He had that big crescendo at the end there where he was whistling on, and I thought Rocky Balboa was coming out any minute.
Yeah.
But
didn't he say go get him or something?
Last thing he said before he walked out was go get him.
Go get him.
And a lot of the media, both on both sides, the communists and the right, they were both kind of baffled at that one.
Yeah. Also, the timing of taking off the mask just before the State of the Union speech. Did you know that? They decided.
Oh yeah.
The pronouncement.
We're healed.
Pronouncement
now.
Was that we no longer will need to wear masks in this. In this grand room.
I just found it disgusting that he talked about the vaccine being so important and he never thanked the guy that got him the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
You never hear that. I don't care what your party affiliation, what that man did to make sure it pushed us forward at least 2 years.
Yeah.
By getting that vaccine out. It was unheard of.
He moved at warp speed. He really did. No question about it. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that speech a little bit later in the show. Right now, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. And after we come back, Kevin Hazlett, he's a Republican candidate for Congress from the 13th District here in Florida. We're going to talk with him about why he is running.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap tooth. She's got a pad on 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of love.
Oh yeah, Love Potion number 9. We are back. It's a beautiful day, by the way, here. A little bit on the cool side. I love it. Sunny and bright Florida weather. Delighted to have Kevin Hazlett joining us. Kevin is an attorney. He is running for the Republican nomination for the U.S. 13th Congressional District, which is the old Charlie Crist district. I believe Charlie is running for governor, it looks like. And Kevin, welcome, first of all, to Freedom Works.
Thanks, Paul.
Really delighted to have you here. Let's just start right out. Why, Kevin, do you want to run and become a congressman here in Florida?
Well, I think, Paul, the biggest answer is that, unlike a lot of the folks in the race, I'm from here. You know, my family, my wife's family is fifth generation Floridian. I've been here since the 50s, my family has. And kind of, you know, I've been a lawyer here for 32 years. I was a former prosecutor for six, have a private practice, built a law firm here. I've got businesses here. And I really felt that a unique concept should be that someone from the district represent the district. I know it's strange that and I've got a lot of response from a lot of folks I've known. About every 4 years, people come to me and say, "Hey, would you run your run?" I go, no, I'm not. Because I was, like a lot of folks, focused on my family. I've got three boys. My oldest one works in New York City on Wall Street in finance. My middle son went to the Naval Academy. He's an O2 based out of Virginia Beach, moving out to Coronado. And my youngest one is a double math major at West Point.
Wow, you got to be very proud of those three.
Well, they responded to whipping really well. And the beatings. So they
uh-huh.
No, but no.
You did not spare the rod. And look great they grew up.
No, I'm kidding. And I talk about, you know, a very competitive family. We play full contact Pictionary at Christmas. And we set very high standards. And I took a look and talked to a lot of folks that I've known for years. In this district, I've got calls from folks, a lot of people that you would know, and said, "Hey, listen, we need to get someone who's from here to run here." And, you know, like a lot of folks, going back to our Sunday school days, I said, "No, you want my brother. You don't want Moses to do this. You don't want me. I've got stuff to do." But, you know, the more I talked, the more I got into it. My timing in my career, having been here for 34 years practicing law, and I talked to a lot of folks I've known here, Bob Gualtieri, Sheriff Gualtieri, good friend of mine, known for 30 years. You know, he's endorsed
Pinellas me. County Sheriff.
Pinellas County mm-hmm. Sheriff. He's endorsed me and encouraged me to run. Jim Coates, his predecessor, has endorsed me, encouraged me to run. Bruce Bartlett, who's our state attorney here, known him for 32 years, encouraged me to run, endorsed me. So these are folks that are sort of, I would say I'm a political outsider, but community insider. Mm-hmm. Someone who's from the community. And I think that a lot of people that I think run for Congress, I look nationally and get these in these races, and it's the same three talking points. You know, things that we talked about were important, you know, closing our borders, fighting inflation, trying to be energy independent. Those are all great things. But when you boil down what a congressperson should do, their first allegiance is to what? The district, right? District first. You know, and whoever represents this district should understand the problems of the district, the goals of the district, and understand that that is their job one. They should also know the difference between Sankey and Kansas City, right? I mean, they should know the nuances of here and understand that, you know, it started years ago with Bill Young, who brought a lot of good things to the district. And VA Hospital, you look at CenCon, SOCOM, those are things that he built. And I think it's important that's what a congressperson should do. Mm-hmm. I mean, talking points are great, but they don't bring home the pork, which is important for a district, and they also don't solve district issues. So I think that's the way that I see it, is that it's important to have those roots, the connections that are organic, not political. So when I'm talking to people about getting behind my campaign, I'm not talking to strangers. Usually I'm talking to people that I've had a 30, 40-year relationship with. And I think that makes a difference.
Well, of course. So what do you think in the 13th District, which, by the way, includes portions of Clearwater, I think, and it also in St. Petersburg, and kind of has that one of those, if you looked on a map, it's kind of all over the place a little bit, right?
Well, it depends on which map we get, of course. Well, because we've got DeSantis's map, we've got the House map, we've got the Senate map. We don't know the map yet. It depends on where we get. But
that's true.
But right now, I think where we'll end up will be Countryside and Safety Harbor, which have not been part of the district, certainly in the last several years. DeSantis's map has it going to Pasco County. The Senate map has it going to Tarpon, cutting off at US 19.
Oh,
so
wow.
We're going to move from a D+2 to an R+ question mark, but it's going to go up. So this should be absolutely a direct target for the Republican Party to grab this seat to add an R to the House.
Interesting.
We absolutely should. I mean, mathematically it works.
Yeah, because it's been in the hands of Charlie Crist and Democrats for a while.
Yes, and I think...
And it includes St. Petersburg. Now, it will still obviously include most of St. Petersburg.
It will, unless DeSantis's map comes in, because he carves out St. Pete. Looks similar to the Bill Young map of years ago. Not to get too, like, politically wonky with you, but you get down to the nuts and bolts.
Boy,
it could change.
Yeah, St. Petersburg makes all the difference.
It does make all... Unless you add too many R's or more R's that you change to shift that. So, I mean, you could move it and keep St. Pete, but you add so many conservative R's going north that you drowned out that vote.
Okay. We're talking with Kevin Hazlett, again, running for the 13th U.S. Congressional District here in Florida. So, Kevin, what would you consider the number one most important thing to be done or solved in the 13th Congressional District? What would be your priority?
Well, I think a couple priorities. Number one, you've got to keep the footprint that we started with Bill Young and keep, we've got a great pipeline. And he, of course, had that committee with the Department of Defense and have the ability to have CENTCON, SOCOM, VA continue to build on that. It's sort of like a shining light. If you look for veterans, we've got 60,000 veterans in our district. Okay, it's really veteran-centric. It's really important because when you treat, you know, folks coming across the border better than your veterans, I think we have a problem. And I think the people I talk to say, listen, we don't mind helping others outside our borders, but why don't we take care of those folks first, right? I mean, that's what you do. Number two, I think it's important in the district because of my relationship with Tony Holloway. He used to be the chief of Clearwater. He's now the chief down in St. Pete. I've known personally, so I know the chiefs of police, the sheriffs. One of the things that folks want to do and ensure that from a standpoint from law enforcement, that continues, that we have cohesiveness. And I think that, you know, number one purpose of government is to keep you safe, right? That's the number one. Before we can worry about anything else, before we can go to the gas station, complain about gas prices, before we go to Publix, you know, and worry about, you know, inflation, you've got to feel safe. So that's important. Now, fortunately, we've had great leadership there. That's got to continue. We've got to continue to support those leaders so we're there and we don't look like the Summer of Love, right?
Right.
You know, because I think the average voter gets that and sees that. So the other thing that you've got to do, you've got to protect tourism, right? I mean, tourism is the lifeblood of this county. It serves, I mean, small businesses are lifeblood. That's based upon tourism. We've got the beach, we've got the restaurants, we've got the Airbnbs, you've got the hotels. You've got all those folks live and die by those dollars. So it's really important you do that. The other thing we've seen here in Pinellas County, you know, some people argue that we've got a border, that we should probably regulate the border between Florida and Georgia. We've got enough New Yorkers here. We should probably close those gates. But you know, under DeSantis, what we've seen, and his agenda works, an open economy, right, that keeps businesses open. Thank goodness we had him. Well, what, 1,200 votes from going the other way? And the other thing that we need to do is move that forward and understand that it's important that we continue to have business. You've seen what's happened in St. Pete. We're now moving it to a tech. You know, Kathy Woods, who runs ARC, which is a great company, she moved her company to St. Pete to bring it here. This should be a bastion of technology, companies that have been in the Northeast, that are tired of Northeast shutdowns, mask mandates. Make this a free enterprise economy-centric state and get those businesses here. You bring it here, creates jobs, right? Better economy. That's what we need. That's really what we need. And we've got, if you look at it, we're like California without the problems. We're like New York with the lower tax base. You know, when we have the ability to bring the best and brightest, and those people have initiative to start companies right here, and we really should. People complain about the real estate cost here, and it's really, really high. Rent's really high. However, I would argue with you, you look to California, San Francisco, other places that have great economic growth, Austin, Texas, which has boomed. You know, you saw Elon Musk. When they shut him down, he said, message received, I'll take my tent, move it to Austin, Texas, and with it, billions of dollars in taxes. And that really helps the government. And that gives you better law enforcement, better fire department, all that thing, better roads, because you bring that tax base with you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think all of the things that you are saying strike home with people here.
I think they resonate. I mean, the borders is an issue, but that's not necessarily, it's a great national issue, but, you know, the goal first is how do you help the citizens of Pinellas County first? Because that's, you know, I'm here to serve them. I've represented people as clients for 34 years, and now my new client is Pinellas County.
Gotcha, yeah. We're talking again with Kevin Hazlett, running for the Republican nomination for the 13th Congressional District. Kevin, you've got some opponents. Let's see, Amanda Mackey, Anna Paulina Luna, Audrey Henson, Christine Quinn, and Will Braddock are all registered to try to get the Republican nomination. So you're in a little bit of a crowd right now. What makes you stand out from the others, do you think?
Well, I think a couple things. Number one, local support. There's not another candidate out there that has a local support. There's not another candidate out there that has the sheriff's endorsement that doesn't have, you know, those types of things because of my roots here. And it's sort of an unfair advantage for me. When you grow up somewhere, you know, when you've lived somewhere, I went to Clearwater High, graduated in 1980. You know, my kids were educated here. My grandparents are buried here. I was married about 3 miles from where we sit right here. I know the owner of the studio in this place. There's a friend, as a friend. I mean, so those relationships are golden. And I think what stands out is I think people are drawn to people that they know and trust. And I think the problem with any candidate, regardless if it's in my race or another race, when someone moves here to run, or someone who's been here to 3 to 4 years, or as Chris Sprawls would say, has lived here for 12 minutes, it's hard to know their character. It just really is. When you've known someone for 30, 40, 50 years, you know what they look like under pressure. They know, you know what they look like when things are good and where things are bad. And you really know them. Think about in your life, you go back to the folks you've known since first grade, and you know what they're like. You know, someone you meet 2 weeks ago, you're like, oh, they seem like a really nice person. But what happens when things get tough? What happens when they get attacked? What happens when they go in the chamber, when they're in Congress, and they're trying to get a bill passed, an agenda passed? You don't know their mettle or muster because they're not battle-tested. Being battle-tested, living in a district for 3 years, does not make you ready for a very lofty position that affects, in this district, almost 1 million lives. Yeah. And I think that's really important. What stands out is there aren't folks that do that. When I talk to police officers, firefighters, people, and I say to them, and the same question you asked, Paul, and I said, well, my relationship with you, that person I'm talking to, is based upon 35 years of doing what I do. Your relationship with my opponent is them coming in here and asking for your support only as a candidate. So my conversations I've had with folks has been for 34 years, or really 58 years, organically, it has only been 39 days as a candidate. So how do you trust someone? When they're asking you for something because they want your vote, or because they're not asking for you for anything other than living your life? And I think my grandfather said it best, and this is the quote I gave my kids: the way you live your life speaks so loudly, I can't hear a word that you're saying.
That's well put.
Well, it really shouldn't matter what I say, and it shouldn't matter what my opponents say. The answer is, look at the proofs in the pudding. What have you built? What have you bought? What have you sold? Who have you employed? You know, have you negotiated insurance for your employees? It's all well and good to have public sector life. I did that. You know, prosecutor for 6 years. I taught at the police academy. Still have taught for years their shoot, don't shoot criteria as to how they use deadly force. That's what I did here in the district. But you want to judge someone by what they've done and what you've seen and what you've witnessed. So I would tell a lot of voters, if they're making a decision in this district, don't listen to the candidates. Ask the people that have known them for 20 years. Because I think that's the best judge of somebody. Because you know the good, the bad, the ugly, the truthfulness, the untruthfulness. whether or not they're slippery, not slippery, whether they're trustworthy, not trustworthy. That's how you get it. And as a practicing lawyer here, I tell that to all the folks, listen, the worst thing they ask, should I hire you? Good. Well, you know what? Don't listen to me, because you ask a candidate, they're going to give you a sales pitch. Ask the people in the community that have known you for 20 years. They will give you the truth. And anybody who does their due diligence in this race, and I ask the question, how well do you know your candidate? If you drill down deep and ask 10 people about me, I think what you'll find is that you don't want to be on the other side of me in a fight. and I say in the courtroom, not necessarily a fist fight, but you know that helps the support. For me, that's what has grown my practice and grew a law firm from 4 people to 20 people in 5 different locations. And with so much business that it's been a blessing to me. And I've been blessed. And I found, like many of people in this community, the more you give to your community, the more you give away, either in free legal advice and some of the stuff that I do, the more that you're blessed. And right now, I want to take the accumulation of 58 years here and bless the people of Pinellas County by representing them, because I think that's what we should do.
I think you said it very, very well, Kevin. I really appreciate your coming in and talking to us a little bit about what you are all about. You're a guy that's lived here all your life, and certainly people can, I think they find comfort in people like you that know them and know
yes.
the environment that that they want to run for. So people want to find out more about you, go to a website. How would you direct them to learn a little bit more?
Sure,
about
sure.
Kevin,
you go to hazletforcongress.com. There's a website. It tells about me, tells a little bit about me. You know, the other thing is I've met so many people. I've speaking at so many different events. I did an event down in Islandway Grove. Frank Chevis, who, I don't know if you've been to Islandway down there, great guy. I've known him since I was a busboy at a restaurant here when I was in high school. So that's another relationship. We had my first opening fundraiser down to meet people, and I had to turn away 100 people because these are people. It was like a Clearwater reunion. I had people driving from St. Pete, Tarpon Springs. So if you want to, it's hazletforcongress.com. You're welcome to contact me directly. I've talked to people every single day. I think it's really important in this race and every race to know the person you're voting for. And the question is, how well do you know the person you're supporting? And I think it's more important to drill down before the sound bites, because I don't think that's really a way to test somebody. Go down a little deeper and really ask people who's known the folks for 20 years, what do you think about this candidate for 20 years? Because I think that's where the truth percolates up.
Excellent. Well, thank you so very much for coming in. A real pleasure to meet you and to talk with you. And we wish you the very best, Kevin.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Paul.
All right. Kevin Hazlett. All right. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, Joe Biden held his State of the Union speech last night. What do you think about it? We're going to find out what the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi, thought. So stay tuned for that.
Late December back in 63.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Do you have trouble with communicating, or are you drowning in clutter? You are not alone. There is a solution. This is Christiana, your clarity coach. I can help you find the clarity you need, and it's easier than you think. Whether it's your communication, your mind, or your disorganized physical space, join me Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Clarity Corner with Christiana, and let's do this together. Remember, that's Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
But it'll never gain the hearts and souls of the Iranian people.
Hey, we are back. You're right. Ed mentioned that Biden was going to make sure the hearts and souls of the Iranian people will never be gained by Putin. Never. I guess you're right. He did say that. You know, you get used to his sort of sliding over certain syllables. in words after a while. So I don't know. It kind of went right by me. I'll be honest about that, Ed.
Well, if you look at the video, after he said that, she mouthed Ukrainian.
Who's she?
So she was
Nancy Pelosi?
No, Kamala Harris. She was paying attention.
Kamala was paying attention.
I'm not sure you want to do that, though, because you're contradicting and kind of, you know.
You got to be careful about that, don't you?
Just
you really do.
Sit there and look stupid, and she's very good at that.
Well, the speech went about 91 minutes, if I'm not mistaken, and it was one of the longer speeches. I'm not surprised it went about as long as it did because he doesn't speak real quickly. It just seems like when he was talking, I don't know, you knew he was reading things. And, of course, he squints to see the, I guess he would probably, he could wear glasses, but he doesn't want to do that. But anyway, I don't know.
Well, that's why you could tell that the Ukrainian part, that was probably just put together because of latest
developments. Yes, there's no question
and then,
about that.
Well, I said when it went off the cliff, everything else was rehearsed. It was kind of like, okay, I got past that. Now I can eat my dessert.
You know what I heard someone say about the speech? They dropped it accidentally on the floor, and then they were picking it up and in no particular order, other than the Ukrainian situation. Because after that, where was the continuity in that speech? Did you notice that?
No. I
mean, there wasn't any,
probably
in my
because
opinion.
Probably because whatever he was going to say 5 days ago had to change. Mm-hmm. Because of recent developments.
Exactly. Well, the Ukrainian thing had to be thrown in there at the
and
top.
How,
we knew that.
How it was ironic that he used the speech to announce that all airspace would be shut down to any Russian aircraft.
Right.
You know, you had days to do that before.
Right.
You used the speech to do that.
In other words,
just like the mask.
In other words, he waited until the last moment to do. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Needed that crescendo, you know.
Well, we've got the proprietor of the barber pole with us. I want to get a handle on what Andrew Ceresi thinks. Andrew, I know you were waiting for Biden's speech with bated breath. That's only because you had a few drinks before he started. So I want to know, how did you feel about the quality of that speech last night?
Well, Paul, I thought about it and thought about it, how I could relate to that speech. And I said to myself, it's like being stranded in a desert and dying of thirst and hoping and waiting, and all you see is a mirage in front of you, and you're going to die. Oh. There is no water.
It was a total mirage. It actually was a speech that will disappear like tomorrow. Nobody will even remember what he was talking about.
Exactly, Paul. He talked about nothing. Everything is free, free, free. Free community college, free child care. The people are, you know.
Well, did you not pick up that he was going to help cure cancer within, I think it was 25 or 30 years or something? I was kind of excited about that. What?
25. Listen, 25 or 30 years. First of all, realize they're never going to cure cancer because there's too much money involved. Okay? I believe they could have a cure for it in no time at all. But there's too much money involved being made in cancer, just like the money that was made in COVID. I mean, look at Trudeau. He has $2 billion worth of orders for the COVID vaccine for Canada yet.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Trudeau, you reminded me. What about the truckers' convoy? Did they have one?
They're having it now, I guess. I was reading something on it this morning. They're on their way.
On their way? I thought they were going to be there by the State of the Union speech.
Who knows? You know, Paul, it's like anything else right now. Everything is up in the air, you know, and that's why I'm so glad you had Kevin Haslett on there this morning, because he's given me hope for Pinellas County over here a little bit, because I wasn't happy with any of the candidates that were running whatsoever. They all got too much baggage, too much baloney going on.
Yeah. Well, Kevin is definitely a guy that we know, at least, is, you know, a man of this area. What is this?
He's the real thing.
What is going on with we're looking at Biden right now. There's a big black spot on his forehead. Do you see that, Paul?
Yeah, I do.
Is that a bruise?
Is it Ash Wednesday?
Did he fall down go boom?
No, is this Ash?
Oh, is it Wednesday?
It's Ash Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
It almost looks like a bullet hole. I shouldn't say that, should I?
Oh, you can't say that.
I didn't mean to say that.
You're making too many people say that.
Anyway, it's Ash Wednesday, and he's a Catholic. And you go to church and you make sure, and I'm sure that they put a little extra makeup on there because he wants everybody to show he is trying. That's why he's out there.
I'm sorry, but it's all smeared and it looks like a bruise. It looks like he had another bout with Air Force One steps.
Maybe his wife popped him on the head and say, "Hey, straighten up, stupid." Maybe that's what happened. You never know.
Anyway. Do you guys think that his State of the Union brought up his polls or what?
No. What's your next question? No, of course it didn't.
I agree with you 100%.
This guy, this guy's in the 30s.
Yep.
He's in the 30s.
I wish that Nancy Pelosi would have had some pom-poms in her hand.
It looks
like a real cheerleader standing behind him.
She was getting up and starting to cheer before he had finished what he was trying to say that she was supposed to cheer about.
I could tell you one thing. He's lucky I wasn't sitting behind him because I would have tore up a couple of Depends on him.
You would have whacked him over the head with your copy of the State of the Union speech.
I was hoping somebody in the audience would yell, "Let's go, Brandon." And then he'd go, let's go, Brandon. All
somebody
right.
did, speaking of that, somebody from Colorado, a Republican, that lady, Boebert, was it? I can't remember.
Boebert, yes.
Yeah.
What did she say? She
something about the 13 dead soldiers.
That's right, the flag draped coffin thing. That really got under her skin. I don't blame her for getting a little bit visceral there. Remember how all of that came out of Afghanistan and all of those coffins that were coming back? A lot of people haven't forgotten that.
It's really sad. The problem is, I think that a lot of Americans are still, Democrats want to hide that because they want to bury that literally and figuratively, because American folks that are pro law enforcement and pro, you know, army and pro, you know, armed services, that's under their crawl. And I don't think they're going to forget about that.
Right. As you can tell, we still have Kevin here.
Sorry, he can't stop talking, right. Andrew.
No, not at all. So, Andrew, any other thoughts about what's going on right now? Do you want to? It looks very dark in Ukraine. Very, very dark. There are now at least several, according to this, more than 2,000 civilians have been killed in the Ukraine.
Well, you know, I just was reading something. It just popped up for a few minutes ago that there was a special forces crew sent in to purposely get rid of Zelensky, but apparently that all 400 of them have been neutralized.
Well, I think there's some truth in that. There was like two different contingents. They did neutralize one of them totally, and they got the other one. I don't know what exactly that was all about, but you're right. You're right. This is supposedly a crack squad of assassinators.
You know, there's a...
Paul, you know what? I think that the Ukraine might fare out of this, and I think that Biden, we might hear some news about this guy, because, you know, if this fails, he might do the Harry Carey. You don't know.
You're talking about Putin.
If I'm talking about Putin.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what we're all worried about.
He's a hand grenade walking around. That's what he is. Whether he's crazy or not, he could be a villain and be crazy. He could be a villain and not be crazy. But there is something going on, and you cannot, you have to worry about what. And then there's the thing about the injured bear cornered, you know, if we do too much.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is, you know, he's flipping, you know, nuclear weapons around in his right hand while he's talking to you with his other hand. So I don't know.
The only thing you can hope for is some sane individual that's behind him to convince enough people to pull him out from power. And I don't even know if you can do that. The other thing, too, is if you noticed the 40-mile-long convoy that is sitting there backed up and waiting. It's too bad the Ukrainians don't have an air force that they could attack that 40-mile, because they're sitting ducks there. Can you imagine sending out an air patrol out there and just, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. Where are they going to go?
Yeah.
They need about 10 warthogs to take care of their problem.
Why not a few? Can't they aim a few drones with some, I don't know enough about them, but fly a few drones over and drop some stuff?
We got some badasses in some of our prisons. We could send them over there.
Well, we could do that.
We can unleash
them. I don't think we want to get caught doing that, however, because...
They got out somehow. I don't know how.
Yeah. You know, from what I understand, they're talking about a lot of the Russian army laying their arms down, Paul.
You know what is so frustrating is you sit here and you listen to some of these. By the way, the Ukrainian people, if they are not the bravest people in the in the world, I don't know who is.
Don't you?
Some of these people have shown how brave they are in the face of possible death. The way they have stood up, your heart goes out to them. You just cannot help yourself.
Do you think our millennials would act like that, Paul?
Who?
Do you think our millennial people would act like the Ukrainian people are right now?
You know, when confronted with things like this, you'd be surprised how many heroes you would find.
Well, I would have to watch that because I don't have too much faith in that millennial society right now.
Well, listen, you can't group everybody together, but I'm looking at the Ukrainians, and I must say, every one of them I'm watching, my heart goes out, and it just seems like that. You know, perhaps that country has experienced so much trouble, and being right next to Russia like they are, maybe they've just become a hardened group of people, you know? Maybe they're just that way.
No, Paul, that's what the American people used to be like, too, when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
They were, and somewhere down the line, we lost that patriotism, Paul.
Well, sometimes it takes something like this to kind of bring some of that back, don't you think?
Well, we got it back at 9/11, and then we lost it.
True. It's a fleeting thing.
That's what I always say.
It's a fleeting thing.
It's like everybody says, why does Trump keep bringing up about losing the election and the election was rigged? Because the American people have to be reminded. They forget so easily.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he brings it up. They have to be reminded.
Well, there's a... Going down that road, I don't know, is it going to be helpful to him? I think he should just forget that, just look forward. I really do, no matter what.
Biden's helping him more and more. You don't have to worry about
him. Yeah, that's true.
He can say what he wants. Biden's doing a good job getting him reelected.
I think you may be right about that. My friend, it is always a pleasure to have you on. I'm looking forward to our discussions on Friday. Thanks so much.
You guys have it. Have a good day. We'll talk to you later.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. There he is, the Master Barber. Whoa. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi says Joe Biden's approval ratings are low because people are uninformed. Ah, that's it. I knew there was a reason. All right, we'll talk about it.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you so very much, you devoted listeners. By the way, we are on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. However, thanks to Ed, bless his heart, if you missed one of our shows, you can go to our website and listen to it. He puts all our shows on podcast. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. So We were talking about Nancy Pelosi. By the way, I was hoping, Ed, that her teeth wouldn't fall out. That would be embarrassing because you got to remember, she has to stick her hands in there and stick them back up into the gum area.
You just kind of, and I'm being serious about it, as much money as she's pulling down, that she could find some sort of a fix for that. I mean, it's just annoying. You know, put the damn mask on. I mean...
Oh, we just have a lot of fun.
I just don't want to see it. I can only imagine what's floating around in there, you know? Stuff's trying to get out.
Trying desperately to escape. Well, anyway, Pelosi suggested yesterday, before the speech, by the way, that Americans are uninformed about our president's agenda and what he has worked to do in the White House. And she concluded that those who call the United States home are blessed to have him as president. So she goes on MSNBC and talked with Andrea Mitchell, asked for a reasoning behind Biden's decline in the polls. She said that she believes the president's work is misunderstood. There you go. It's misunderstood. And that his State of the Union address was very important because it would provide an opportunity for him to talk about it. Again, she spoke about this before, that crackling State of the Union speech. So people are misunderstood and they're uninformed. This is so crazy. You know, it's belittling people's intelligence, basically.
If anybody's uninformed, it'd be her, and it'd be about her own district. And what's going on there?
She almost looked like a marionette with that smile of hers that was kind of plastered on her face, you know? Or that she was under the influence of some sort of a narcotic. It was either one or the other because she had that strange sardonic smile.
And here's another thing we didn't bring up. Right after he fell off the cliff of the Ukrainian thing, I knew that the words, the former administration, wouldn't be far behind. And I believe it was only a couple of minutes in that he said, because of the former administration.
Oh, yeah.
And you could hear the boos running down.
Right.
So, right. I mean, he won't say the name Trump, but that's what he'll use.
I think he did one of those things about the tax cuts. Somehow tax cuts are a bad thing.
Yeah.
He did, and there were some immediate boos. Right. Immediate boos came out of the Republican side of the aisle.
Now, unlike the former administration, we're not going to give tax cuts to the wealthy or something like that.
I don't know. Well, we could go on and on about that speech, but I'm glad it's over with finally. And off we go. Hey, before we do our, we have a good top 10, by the way, and I think maybe somewhat appropriate. Top 10 luxury bomb shelters, you know, these days. Maybe some of the Ukrainians are close enough. We'll find out. But before we get to that, I'm a little worried, Ed. Aren't we supposed to be starting baseball?
You know, Paul.
Baseball. What's going on with baseball?
That came down yesterday with Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, canceling the first couple of weeks of baseball. And he actually came out and said that the things that they asked for, we basically gave them. They wanted the younger players to get a raise. They got a 33% raise. They're going to go from $500,000 minimum to $700,000 and change.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sorry, but when is enough enough? When are these players making too much money?
I think a long time ago they started making too much money in the
minor leagues and the guys that are coming up. But these guys that are getting $35 million a year and then they just...
To play baseball.
Nothing. The next year, they're dirt. You know, they've got injuries and everything. I'm sorry, but nobody on this planet's worth $30 million a year.
I can go back to the 60s and remember baseball, okay? Those guys back then, maybe they made $10,000 to $20,000.
A lot of them had
and they had second jobs.
Summer jobs. I'm sorry,
second
winter jobs. Winter jobs, yeah.
They had second jobs. Or they owned car dealerships.
Had to pay the rent.
And they were as happy, if not happier, in their careers than the people, it seems to me, today that are multi-millionaires.
And
it does not buy you whatever the satisfaction or personal contentment.
And you know, we've had 2 years of COVID restrictions, and here we are. This is a man-made problem that you can't figure. You had all offseason to get this figured out, and you wait till the last minute. I'm sorry, but I side with the owners on this one.
I think most people do.
Lock them out, and I, if I were the owners, I would try to get some minor leaguers ready. I'm sorry, you got to you can't run a team running with no salary cap.
Yeah, and you know, it's been tough. It's not like football, which is a gold mine. I don't think baseball draws that many people for nine innings watching it on TV as much. You know, it's not something people are waiting for that much.
Ticket prices are going up and up and up. Look at New York Yankees; their payroll $200 million, $250 million.
Yeah, I always feel good when they never win.
No, it.
I know.
I do too.
Yeah. All right, it's time for our top 10. We got a good one. This comes from RethinkingTheFuture.com. It's the top 10 luxury bomb shelters of the world. Here we go, number 10. Ed's got to get over to the drums. Ed did not get over to the drums soon enough, and unfortunately, a grenade went off between he and the drums.
That was a bomb for bomb shelter.
That's it. It's very good. I like it. We'll do that. Greenbrier Bunker. This doomsday bunker built to protect Congress. Of the government, Congress, when the Cold War was at its peak. It's hidden under the West Virginia wing of the Greenbrier Hotel. Okay, very good. Number 9, Vivos X Point, V-I-V-O-S X Point.
Sounds like a cocktail lounge.
It covers almost three-quarter the size of Manhattan, largest doomsday bunker community, 575 bunkers. It's located in South Dakota.
Wow.
Okay. Number 8, I guess the same company made this one, Vivos, Indiana, okay? Or Vivos, V-I-V-O-S. It can accommodate up to 80 people for about a year. Common living and dining areas create a sense of community, keeps you psychologically balanced when isolated from the rest of the world. It's got a garden. You can grow some vegetables. You won't starve. Number 7, it's called the Safe House. Unique feature of the Safe House, above ground, has glass windows. What? It allows natural light into the house, though it looks like a solid concrete mass from the outside. Let's see. The windows are nothing but massive concrete blocks that can be closed during an emergency. I see. All right. Number 6. The Aristocrat, designed by the Rising Five Company, or Rising S Company, top-notch doomsday bunker, accommodate up to 50 people. You get a hot sauna, swimming pool, gym, game room, bowling alley, and a theater. I'd rather live there than live where I am. All right, number 5, Las Vegas underground shelter. 14,620 square foot bunker, 26 feet below ground. Let's see, built during the Cold War. I'm trying to find out if it has a slot machine. Spa, pool, guest house, fountain, nightclub, bar, barbecue. No slot machine, Ed. Sorry. Number 4. Trident Lake. 700 acres. This bunker is spread over 700 acres. Resort-style bunker. 600 condominiums, golf course, athletic center. Hey, it's got a polo field.
Shh.
That I'd like to see. It's got a helipad. Woo! A DNA vault for the worst case scenario, okay? Number 3.
We're going to go.
Okay, yeah, you're right. It's survival condo in Kansas. Number 2. Another Vivos in Europa. Number 1. Yes, indeed. The Oppidium. It's located in the Czech Republic. 323,000 square feet. Has all leisure and work facilities, 6,750 square foot apartment, blah, 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 double sinks, rainfall shower, swimming pools, garden, simulated natural light cinema, and on. All right. Thanks so much. We will be back Friday. Remember, freedom works.
What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning.
We've come too far. WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.1